From Charlotte, North Carolina, you're listening to the Bible Answer Man broadcast with Hank Hanegraaff, president of the Christian Research Institute. The reason the Bible Answer Man is on the air is to defend the Christian faith, proclaim the gospel of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, and to teach discipleship to his followers, because life and truth matter. For more information or to order equipping resources, call 888-7000-CRI, which translates to 888-7000-274, or go online to equip.org. That's equip.org. The following program was pre-recorded. And now, here's your host, Hank Hanegraaff.
Thank you very much, Randy. A lot of you hanging on. We'll go right to the phone lines. First up is Daniel in Brooklyn, New York, listening on the web. Hi, Daniel.
Hey, Hank. How are you doing? Thank you for taking my call.
You're welcome.
All right. I just got to say thank you for your ministry. To the question I have, I was doing some Bible study today. I'm on vacation from work, so I can get some deep Bible studying and some reading done. And one of the scriptures I came across is Proverbs 19, verse 21. It says, "Many are the paths, many are the plans in a man's heart, but it is the Lord's purposes that prevails." And I wanted to ask your opinion on an application of that scripture, and particularly in the area of raising a family and having many things to do, but also raising so much children. So one of the questions I want to ask you is, how do you juggle all of the responsibilities you have in such a large family at the same time?
Well, I have to give a lot of credit to my wife, obviously, for being a helpmate that causes all of this to work like a Swiss watch, although sometimes it looks like Swiss cheese. More holes than cheese. But no, I mean, honestly, it's the combination of two people working together. My wife has talents that I do not have, and I have talents that she does not have. And if God would make both of us identical, one of us would have been irrelevant in the relationship, but certainly that's not how it worked out. So our gifts and talents are definitely being used within the context of the family. But you know, the Christian life is always a life of balance. And it's never a matter of time, it's always a matter of priority. And so you've got to take the time you have and prioritize it and use it wisely. For example, a lot of times when I travel, almost all the time when I travel, I take one or two of my kids because I get to spend that individual time with those kids, and in the process we build an identity and a memory. So I'm really multitasking in that circumstance, and I can tell you my wife is better at that than I am. But as to the particular verse that you ask about, many are the plans in a man's heart, but it is the Lord's purposes that prevail. I think of the passage in Proverbs that says there is no wisdom or counsel or understanding against the Lord. The horse is made for the day of battle, but victory belongs to the Lord. So we make our plans, but the Lord directs our paths. And ultimately, his plans prevail because his plans are perfect. And that's why we pray, "Nevertheless, not my will, but thy will be done," because we only see a snapshot of time. God sees the panoply of our lives. Let's go back to the phone lines, talk to Dan. He's listening in Seattle, Washington. Hi, Dan.
Hi, good afternoon, Hank. I had a question. I ran into a couple today. They didn't come to me. I just kind of met them, and they're Jehovah Witnesses. And they said, "Oh, do you go to church?" And, you know, they started harping on right away that Jesus is not God, that he didn't exist at creation, and that, you know, there is not going to be another heaven, it's the earth. But my primary question is, I know you're an expert in this area, is just two or three primary ways, you know, to begin a rational conversation is because they throw the word "a" into John 1:1, that Jesus was just a God. But then in Revelation 14, where it says that the 144,000 are men, because I asked them, I said, "Do you think there's any women that are in heaven of the 144?" And they said, "Well, of course." I said, "Well, but Revelation 14 says it's just men that haven't, you know, been with women, you know, in an illicit way." And they said, "Well, you're reading it wrong." Could you just maybe address that in general for me?
Yeah, I sure can. The Watchtower actually teaches that only 144,000 people will make it to heaven. The rest of the faithful will live apart from Christ on earth. So from their perspective, the tickets have all been sold. You can't make it to heaven anymore. So in their view, there's a little flock of 144,000 who get to go to heaven, a great crowd of others who are relegated to earth. The heavenly class, they're born again, they receive the baptism of the Holy Spirit, they partake of communion. The earthly class does not. And to substantiate these kinds of revelations, they don't exegete the scripture, but they look to flashes of insight from their principals and predominantly their founder, Russell. The 144,000, however, means something entirely different from a biblical perspective. And unfortunately, not only the Jehovah's Witnesses get this wrong, but many Christians get this wrong as well. The 144,000 and the great multitude in reality are not two different peoples, but two different ways of describing the same purified bride. Literarily, the 144,000 and the great multitude are comparable to the lion and the lamb. Now remember, John is told about a lion, and then he turns and he sees a lamb. And in the same way, he's told about the 144,000 and turns to see a great multitude. And therefore, the 144,000 is to the great multitude what the lion is to the lamb. In other words, the same entity seen from two different vantage points. From one vantage, the purified bride is numbered. From another, she is innumerable, a great multitude that no one can count. Now, it must surely stretch the credulity of even the most literalistic Jehovah's Witness beyond the breaking point to suppose that 12,000 from each of the 12 tribes means exactly 12,000, not 11,999 or 12,001. Why? Well, to begin with, 10 of the 12 tribes lost their national identity almost 3,000 years ago in the Assyrian exile. The other two, Judah and Benjamin, were largely decimated 2,000 years ago by the Roman hordes. And the pattern of Scripture is to refer to the community of faith, whether Jew or Gentile, with Jewish designations. And you find that throughout the book of Revelation. So in reality, the 144,000 represent true Israel, people from every tongue and people and nation, just as it was intended to be, in perfect symmetry, providentially sealed. And we see this because when you read Revelation, it is a virtual recapitulation of Ezekiel. So Revelation is not a book of riddles perfectly suited for a post-Christian mind, but it is a book which is rooted in Old Testament language. And if you look at it as such, you will find that we're talking with the 144,000 about a purified bride, again, from every nation and tribe and people and language that will step over Jordan into a new Jerusalem prepared for her from the very foundations of the world. It's a limitless, great multitude of all whose names are written in the book of life and all who will inhabit the courts of God for all eternity. So we don't have two groups, two classes. There's only one chosen people, one covenant community, beautifully connected by a cross and beautifully illustrated by the Apostle Paul as a cultivated olive tree. As always, remember, right here on the Bible Answer Man broadcast, we're answering questions not just to give answers, but to use our answers as well-reasoned opportunities to share something further, and that is the truth and the grace and the love and the life, the light that can only come to the human heart as a result of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. So we want to be equipped to always be ready to give an answer, a reason for the hope that lies within us with gentleness and with respect so that we might reach people. Remember, there are only two sets of people in the world. That's what it boils down to. Those who belong to the kingdom of God and those who belong to the kingdoms of this world. If you belong to the kingdom of Christ, you have everlasting life as a present possession. If you do not, you will spend an eternity separated from the love and goodness and grace of God. Not because I say so, but because the Word of God makes that abundantly plain. And therefore, we are involved in an eternal enterprise. What we do now counts for all eternity. That's why we ask you to stand with us. If you could make a gift to the ongoing work of the Christian Research Institute, it would be deeply appreciated and used for the furtherance of the gospel. You can give in a safe, secure fashion on the web at equip.org. We'll be right back with more answers to your questions right here on the Bible Answer Man broadcast.
In The Lord of the Rings, Tolkien's character Faramir voices the thoughts of countless soldiers throughout history. War must be, while we defend our lives against a destroyer who would devour all. But I do not love the bright sword for its sharpness, nor the arrow for its swiftness, nor the warrior for his glory. I love only that which they defend. If you too love what together we defend, our faith, biblical truth, and our freedoms, become a member of CRI's support team today by calling 888-7000-CRI. And as our thanks, Hank Hanegraaff will personalize to you a copy of his complete Bible Answer Book, Collector's Edition, Revised and Expanded. Call 888-7000-CRI or visit our website at equip.org. That's 888-7000-CRI or simply visit our website at equip.org. Hank Hanegraaff will be back right after the break. Anyone who's been paying attention knows there's a war going on, not just on traditional morality, civility, and decency, but even more fundamentally on historic notions of truth. And the enemy isn't just the onslaught of fake news facilitated by a post-truth culture and turbocharged by growing legions of ideological spin doctors. No, the real enemies of truth range from postmodernist convictions that there is no objective truth to militant scientism that claims that only science can determine truth, and religion is little more than primitive superstitions. But CRI support team members are not waving a white flag of surrender. They're holding the fort by undergirding every one of Christian Research Institute's mind-shaping and life-changing outreaches 24/7. To learn how you can make a difference and enjoy all the benefits of support team membership, simply visit equip.org. The Complete Bible Answer Book Collector's Edition is the comprehensive collection of the most often asked questions Hank Hanegraaff has received throughout his four decades as host of the Bible Answer Man broadcast. With more than 500,000 copies already in print, this newly revised and expanded Collector's Edition helps seekers and skeptics alike sort through the truth on topics such as reliability of the Bible, religions and cults, the resurrection and afterlife, and many more issues vital to a better understanding of God in Christ and our relationship to Him. To receive your copy of the Complete Bible Answer Book, Collector's Edition, Revised and Expanded, call 888-7000-CRI and make a gift to support the Christian Research Institute's life-changing outreaches. 888-7000-CRI. Or visit us at equip.org. Breaking the code of the Book of Revelation has become an international obsession. The result has been rampant misreading of Scripture, bad theology, and even bad politics and foreign policy. In the Apocalypse Code, find out what the Bible really says about the end times and why it matters today. Hank Hanegraaff argues that the key to understanding the last book of the Bible is the other 65 books of the Bible, not current events or recent history. The Apocalypse Code offers sane answers to some very controversial questions, such as, what does it mean to take the book of Revelation literally? Who are the Antichrist and the Great Whore of Babylon?
And what is the real meaning of 666? Order The Apocalypse Code by Hank Hanegraaff today. Available in softcover, MP3 CD, or MP3 download from equip.org. Or call 888-7000-CRI. Let's return to your host, Hank Hanegraaff.
Thank you very much, Randy. And we go right back to our phone callers. Next up is Scott in Kearney, Missouri. Hi, Scott.
Hey, how's it going, Hank?
Good. How are you doing?
Oh, I'm doing all right. My question is, I'm 20 years old and I'm in college and I'm a Christian. I'm just trying to prepare myself for eventually finding a wife. And I know that God hasn't given me the gift of celibacy, but yet I try to remain in His Word and live according to His commands, but keep struggling with temptation, especially when it comes to sexual sin. And, you know, I know how important it is to be as godly a man as I can someday for my future wife, and I just don't want to be that guy that chokes in the end because he couldn't control himself. I just didn't know if you had any thoughts or suggestions.
Yeah, the best suggestion I have is a book by Joe Dallas, and it's titled The Game Plan. It's the men's 30-day strategy for attaining sexual integrity. And while it might sound at first formulaic, I can tell you Joe Dallas knows what he's talking about. It's probably the best book on the market in this area. No one understands the subject better than Joe Dallas, and nowhere is there a more biblical and user-friendly game plan for Christian men like yourself committed to reclaiming moral purity. So I think this is a resource that you should really get.
Uh-huh. And then also, just I can't remember the exact verse, but when it says, if you love me, you'll keep my commands. And, you know, I believe that I love God, but, you know, I know we're not perfect here, and sometimes it's really hard to truly understand forgiveness and to be able to accept it. Any thoughts on that?
Yeah, obedience is better than sacrifice. I mean, that's exactly what you read in Scripture, particularly passages like Psalm 51. So ultimately, you have to recognize that God sets these parameters around your life not to be a cosmic killjoy, but so that your joy might be complete. I think you sense that already because you're talking about sexual purity because you want to be a great husband and a great father going forward. So you have the right priority and principle in mind, and that's the issue. And of course, countless men's lives are being ruined by sexual sin. It affects virtually everything in infecting, corrupting, and devastating. It destroys relationships, families, lives. And therefore, when we are in a situation where sexual temptation rears its ugly head everywhere, and the internet has made it easier and easier to get in the trap of sexual sin, it takes more than a little effort for men to resist temptation. It takes a plan, and that's why I recommend the book. We'll talk to Tina next in Henderson, Texas. Hi, Tina.
Hi. I am thoroughly confused about whether or not people can be saved after the rapture.
Well, that's probably because the whole notion of a pre-tribulational rapture is confusing, and I think confused. I don't think the Bible teaches a pre-tribulational rapture. I think the words of Jesus Christ ought to be clear, concise, and what we base our biblical views on. And that is, Jesus said, do not be amazed at this. A time is coming when all who are in the graves will come out. Some will rise to live, and some will rise to be condemned. Which is to say, when the Lord Jesus Christ appears a second time, everyone is going to be resurrected. That means everyone. So I don't think that you should suppose that there's going to be a pre-tribulational rapture in which some go to be with the Lord, and then they return in a second coming with Jesus Christ, and then people are saved after the second coming and so forth. The Bible doesn't teach that. That's an idea that came about in the 19th century and is popular today, but it's not historic Christianity. And the fact that it's new doesn't mean it's not true. I've said many times on the broadcast, it means that we should examine it carefully and see if there's any biblical warrant for it. I haven't been able to find any.
So you don't believe that there's going to be a pre-trib rapture? You think we're all going to live through the Great Tribulation?
Well, the timing of the tribulation is another matter. So there's a fault in the presupposition there. I don't think the Great Tribulation that the Bible speaks of is something that is future. I think it's something that's already occurred.
And who are the martyrs then?
The martyrs in Revelation chapter 20?
Uh-huh.
You know what I would suggest, because this is sort of a disjointed series of questions. Without a context, the answers aren't going to mean a lot to you. So I think you have to understand what the Bible actually teaches with respect to what happens in the book of Revelation, and recognize that Revelation is letters written to seven churches in the province of Asia in the epicenter of a Caesar cult. And in that context, the Apostle John makes very clear that with wisdom and understanding, the people in that epoch of time who are going to be martyred and killed will be able to discern the number of the beast and the number of his name. And that in itself should be a clue that this does not have to do with the 21st century. It has to do with the first century. Because how can someone in the first century, with wisdom and discernment, discern the number and the name of a 21st century beast? Obviously, John is talking to his audience in the first century. And this is a principle in general that all of the Bible was written for us, but none of it was written to us. Revelation was written to seven churches in the province of Asia. Romans was written to Roman believers in Rome. Corinthians to the Corinthians, Ephesians to the Ephesians, and so forth. So all of it is for us, but none of it was written to us. As far as the timing of the tribulation or the meaning of the millennium is concerned, I wrote about this in a book called The Apocalypse Code. Find out what the Bible really says about the end times and why it matters today. Also, I would tell you this, that if you hear about a pre-tribulational rapture, that's one thing. But you ought to test it in light of Scripture, hold fast to that which is good. Find out where the pre-tribulational rapture is taught in Scripture, or at least where people think it's taught in Scripture, then go to that passage and see if it's really taught in Scripture. The people that are most prominent today in that field of thinking will tell you that you'll find all the available clues in passages like John chapter 14 or 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, or even in Revelation chapter 3 with the church at Philadelphia. But when you go to those passages, you find very little about a pre-tribulational rapture. In fact, I would say nothing. You have to read it into the text as opposed to extracting it from the text.
Okay. Well, I've got my research cut out for me.
Yes, exactly. And I wrote about this in my book, The Apocalypse Code. And that book will also give you a primer on how to read the Bible for all it's worth, or as I like to say, mine it for all its wealth. Let's go back to the phone lines. We'll talk next to Dan in Gig Harbor, Washington. Hi, Dan.
Hi, thank you for taking my call, Hank. I've got a son, he's 33 now, and he's abandoned everything that he was taught scripturally, and he's following a fella that wrote a book, Conversations with God, and I pointed out to him all of the scripture that I could. One of the signs of the last days was many will be deceived. And I just feel that he's in deception. I was just wondering, how do I communicate to him without him feel that I'm preaching at him?
Well, I think you ought to have a discussion. And I think you need to do it with gentleness and with respect. And sometimes it's very difficult to have this kind of conversation with your son unless he's open. If he's not open, love him. And if the door opens to communicate, use that doorway, walk through it, and communicate. But to do that, you have to be equipped. So in this particular case, Neil Donald Walsh, in Conversations with God, is affirming reincarnation. You would be reaffirming resurrection. So what I would do is become equipped to demonstrate that resurrection is not something that you believe as a result of blind faith, but rather hold to because of faith in irrefutable fact. In other words, the resurrection of Jesus Christ is not mythology, it's theology based on reality. You also should be equipped to demonstrate that the Bible is authoritative, because in conversations with God, you're going to have exactly the opposite communicated to you as propaganda. You have Neil Donald Walsh saying that most of the New Testament writers never saw Jesus Christ. You have to have a response to that. He says about Hitler, the mistakes Hitler did made no harm or damage to those whose deaths he caused. So he says really radical things that sometimes, if people recognize, wow, this is supposed to be a conversation with God, and the mistakes Hitler made did no harm or damage to those whose deaths he caused. Wow, maybe this guy isn't operating in a real world. But bottom line, you have to be able to contrast an Eastern worldview with a biblical worldview, and that takes work. So I would say this, be prepared, always ready to give an answer. So I'm more concerned with equipping for evangelism than even evangelism. If you're equipped, God will use your well-reasoned answer in the appropriate time, not only with your son, but with other people as well. So again, the big deal, be equipped, always ready to give an answer, a reason for the hope that lies within you, with gentleness and with respect. So long for now.
Thank you for joining us today. Our mission at the Christian Research Institute is to defend the faith, answer Bible questions, and encourage Christians to watch their life and doctrine closely. To find resources to help equip you, go to equip.org. That's equip.org. Or call us at 888-7000-CRI. You can also write CRI at Post Office Box 8500, Charlotte, North Carolina, 28271. The Bible Answer Man broadcast is supported by listeners like you. We're on the air because life and truth matter. The number of wolves surrounding the Christian flock is growing, and they relish nothing more than docile sheep utterly incapable of defending themselves. From militant secularists at home to militant Islamists abroad, the assaults on biblical Christianity are growing dangerously. But Christian Research Institute support team members aren't in favor of feeding these wolves. Instead, each day they're making possible an array of outreaches that defang these wolf packs with solid arguments and evidence that have stood the test of time. What's more, support team members are equipping themselves with CRI's Equipping Essentials, a hand-picked collection of the best apologetics tools around. Your selection of resources are just our way of saying thanks. To learn more about the benefits of membership, simply visit equip.org. Once again, that's equip.org.